Let's just commit our time, please, to the Lord in a word of opening prayer. Our eternal God and our Father, we thank thee again for the privilege that is ours to come into thy presence and to seek thy face. We pray, Lord, for a real sense of thy presence tonight. Oh God, come and pour your Spirit upon us, we pray. And Lord, glorify thy name. Hear and answer prayer. In the name of Christ, we ask all of these things. Amen. Let me, at this stage, welcome you all along this evening to our evening gospel service. We want to thank you for coming and joining with us tonight. We pray the Lord will bless us. A special welcome to Nigel and Katrina for this evening. We want to thank them for coming. And we pray the Lord will bless Nigel as he comes to sing to us in just a little time. Let me go through the announcements at this stage. Do remember that slight change from today. We have the Lord's Table meeting after the service tonight, just for a short time. If you can wait behind, then we encourage you. Remember, this is the Lord's table, it's not the table of this church, and so you're invited if you know and love the Lord. Then on Tuesday night, we have our brother, Reverend Ronnie McCracken, along to give a special presentation of the Passover and speak of the Passover Supper and the significance of it. And so we're looking forward to having our brother along in a practical way. He'll be setting up the Passover as it would have been celebrated and still is celebrated. And so he'll be along to speak about that on Tuesday night. And so I trust you'll make every effort to come and join with us on Tuesday night at 8. Next Lord's Day at 10:15, our Sunday school and Bible class, morning worship at 11:30, and our evening service at 6:30. And do remember, of course, the Outreach Sunday School in Hollywood at 2:30 as well. Next Sunday night is our monthly family and friends night service. Pastor Lee McClelland will be along to testify next Sunday night at 6:30, and our sister Helen McGill will be here to sing, God willing, and there'll be tea for everyone. So please do remember that meeting next Sunday night at 6:30 and invite someone along if you can. Remember the seniors' outing, Wednesday the 24th of May. You need to get your forms and your money back into Colin or Hazel by next Sunday at the very latest, please. Then our church barbecue, Saturday the 3rd of June. If you haven't got your name down yet, please do that tonight. There's a list there in the recording room. Do remember the mission in John Knox starting next week. Pray that the Lord will be pleased to bless the going forth of the gospel there on the Shankill Road. Then the magazines of the church are still available, Vision magazine and also our own Sandown Herald magazine is available today. Those are all free of charge. Take those with you if you didn't get one with you this morning. And there's still also copies of this little booklet for children colouring in, booklets and various activities for children. Our brother Colin Tinsley has very kindly given us a supply of these to give out. And so if you know anybody in your family that would use those, take those with you, use them, and may the Lord bless that outreach that our brother has been involved in. And then these little notebooks that we've produced for our own congregation to commemorate the coronation. If you didn't get any this morning, please take ones with you tonight. And if there are others you would like to take for someone else, your family or maybe neighbours, then please do feel free to take those with you as well. I think these are all the announcements, and as always, we make them subject to the will of the Lord. We're thankful again to Adam for his help in leading the meeting this evening. Pray the Lord will bless him as he comes now and leads the meeting. Lord bless you.
Our opening night of praise this evening is to hymn 474, and the words will be on screen as always. Days are filled with sorrow and care, hearts are lonely and drear, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. We'll stand as we sing hymn 474 together, please. Let's just unite together in a word of prayer and let's seek the Lord's blessing and help as we meet tonight in his house. Let's just pray. Our gracious God and the eternal Heavenly Father, we come before thee in the prayer this evening. And Lord, we thank thee again for the privilege and access that we have even to a house of God to be able to gather together to glorify thy name. And Lord, we thank thee for the access that we also have in prayer unto God our Father through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we recognize that in and of ourselves we are nothing. Lord, we are but sinners. And yet we thank thee that we can come as those sinners saved by the grace of God. And Lord, we thank thee for that grace. We thank thee for salvation and that plan of redemption that has been accomplished for us. We thank thee afresh for the gospel message that we have to proclaim, that Christ Jesus came into the world to die for sinful men. And Lord, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus afresh tonight. We thank thee for him who left heaven's splendor to come and humbled himself to be born into this world. And yet he lived that perfect life which we could not live, and he died that death that we should have died. We realize that he took our place, he took my place, and he died for me. And Lord, it is through his precious blood that has been shed that we are justified and redeemed by his blood. And we thank thee for the forgiveness of sins that we have. Lord, we have been given that garment of salvation, that robe of righteousness given over to us by the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work. And Lord, we thank thee for every child of God in the service tonight who can look back to that moment and the grace of God constrained them. And Lord, you brought us onto thyself where you took us from the mire of our sin. You placed us on the rock, Christ Jesus. Lord, you put that new song, even praises, onto your God, into our mouth, and you established our goings and our ways. Lord, we thank thee for all of thy goodness and thy blessings towards us in our lives. We thank thee for salvation, for the forgiveness of sins, to know that we are reconciled to God, to know that Christ is even making intercession for us now in heaven, and even for that prospect to know that one day when we depart from this time, Lord, we will go to be with Christ. We will go to be with our Savior and to see him face to face in all his glory. And yet we realize that even tonight, Lord, as we are in this world, that we are not of this world, but yet we are to be those ambassadors for Christ. We pray you would help each and every one that is saved, Lord, even to live for Christ day by day, to show forth even to others in our families, in our friends, our work colleagues. Help us even to speak a word in season to hearts of men and women all around us. Lord, we pray again for the community that even surrounds this church. Lord, so many times, even as the houses have been reached with outreach work, and yet it seems that there has been so little response to the things of God. Oh Lord, we pray for this area of East Belfast. Lord, we pray for our city. We pray for this province as a whole. We pray for our nation as well. Lord, we pray that you would turn us back unto God. Lord, help us to realize our wandering away from thee, our departure from the things of God. And Lord, give us repentance. Lord, give us a mourning. Give us a hatred over our sin. Help us to come and confess our sin. We realize that if we confess our sin, that he is faithful, he is just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we pray that thy face would shine upon us even this night. We pray for those gathered in that are still unsaved. Lord, those who have heard the gospel message preached time and time again, and we thank thee for thy long suffering to them. Lord, we thank thee for bringing them by thy will into the house of God tonight. And Lord, we pray that as they would hear the word of God preached, we pray that you would constrain them, convict them of their sin. Lord, we pray you would convert, you would save their soul. Lord, we pray for Mr. Wilson as he would come again and preach the word of God. We thank thee for help, even given this morning in the preaching of thy word. But Lord, we realize that tonight is a new need in the gospel. We pray for that spirit even to fill him in the preaching and the proclaiming of the word of God. Lord, we pray that thy word would have free course and be glorified this evening. And we even pray for our brother Nigel, as he would come and minister to us in song. We thank thee for the talents you've given to him and how he's even using those talents to bless and glorify his Savior. We pray for those words that would be sung, that even in those pieces that hearts would be challenged about their need to be saved. Oh Lord, help men and women to prepare to meet their God. Lord, we just pray for all aspects of the meeting tonight. We pray that we would know the help and the leading of God and his presence in this house tonight. Bless us. Do all of our souls good, we pray. And continue with us now, we ask in Christ's name. And for his glory alone, we ask all of these things. Amen. We're delighted to have our brother Nigel with us. We're just going to ask him now to come and to bring his first two pieces in song.
Back again. Usually when I come, I've always the guitar with me, but I'm just changing it tonight. I'm singing the backing tracks. But this piece, first piece I'm going to sing, is called The Greatest Miracle of All. Thank God tonight there's still power in the blood of the Lamb, and I believe there is healing in the touch of this hand. But the greatest miracle of all was when Jesus saved me. I wasn't there by the shores of Galilee when Jesus touched those blinded eyes and made them see. Though I did not see the empty tomb that day, I still believe, for I know what Jesus did for me. And I believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb. And I believe there is healing in the touch of his hand. But the greatest of all miracles was when Jesus saved me. Yes, I know what Jesus did for me. I have seen the lowest sin sick soul have life anew, be made pure, pure and whole. And I have nailed and loosed the chains of sin and set my spirit free. Yes, I know what Jesus did for me. And I believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb. And I believe there is healing in the touch of his hand. But the greatest of all miracles was when Jesus saved me. Yes, I know what Jesus did for me. Yes, I know what Jesus did for me. It was the third day since Jesus died, and it was said he would arise them from the grave, the Lamb came forth. Oh, I have reason to rejoice, He chose the place, He chose the hour, and He would rise by His own power as sacrifice 3 days ago. And I praise God, the Lamb rose. There rose a Lamb in Jerusalem. He was the Son of the Great I Am. He proved to be my victory. Jerusalem, I wasn't there when Jesus died. I wasn't there to see Him rise, but I was there when He saved my soul. For within my heart His love rose. There rose a Lamb in Jerusalem. He was the Son of the Great I Am. He proved to be my victory. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. He arose, He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. He proved to be my victory. There rose a Lamb in Jerusalem.
Turn the copy of Word of God this evening to the book of Daniel, please, the book of Daniel in the chapter 4. And as you turn there, can I just thank Nigel for those pieces and song we have already been brought to consider a Christ tonight through those pieces. And we pray, Lord, will bless them to your hearts. Daniel chapter 4 and the verse 28 is where we're going to take up our reading tonight. We are looking at the mad monarch, and this brings us to consider King Nebuchadnezzar here in the book of Daniel and the chapter 4, reading from the verse 28 of this chapter, please. And the word of God says, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power, and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling place shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagles' feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. And we end our reading at the end of chapter 4. We know the Lord will bless the public reading of his word tonight. We're going to sing another hymn at this stage of our service. It is the hymn 314, My Happy Soul Rejoices. The sky is bright above. I'll join the heavenly voices and sing redeeming love. Hymn 314, we'll stand again as we sing this praise unto the Lord. Let's stand and sing. Ask the stage for Brother Nigel to come to bring his final piece and song, and straight afterwards Mr. Wilson will come to bring the word of the Lord, please.
There's a light that is drawn through the ages. On that line stands an old rugged cross. On that cross, the battle is raging. For the gain a man's soul or its loss. on one side, march the force of the evil. All the demons, all the devils of hell. On the other, the angels of glory, and they meet on Golgotha's hill. The earth shakes with the force of the conflict, and the sun refuses to shine. For there hangs God's Son in the balance, and then through all the darkness he cries, "It is finished, the battle is over. It is finished, there'll be no more war. It is finished, the end of the conflict. It is finished, and Jesus is Lord." Yet in my heart the battle is raging. Not all prisoners of war had come home. There were battlefields of my home making. I didn't know that the war had been won. Then I heard that the King of all ages had fought all the battles for me, and the victory was mine for the claiming. Now praise his name, I am free. It is finished, the battle is over. It is finished, there'll be no more war. It is finished, the end of the conflict. It is finished, and Jesus is Lord. It is finished, the end of the conflict. It is finished, and Jesus is Lord. A wealthy young man made his way to Jesus. His mind filled with questions of things he'd like to ask. When the moment arrived and he was close enough to hear him, he seized the opportunity for answers at last. They weren't what he hoped for, because he found his treasures far more precious to him than he had ever known. When he walked away from Jesus, his heart was in pieces, as he realized all he held, he could never let go. Yesterday's gone, tomorrow's not promised. So what will you do with Jesus, today, this is your time, this is your moment. Will you turn to Him or turn away? What will you choose today? Centuries have passed, and the world is ever changing. The things that you're now facing are different than before. From the pressures of life to the joy in every moment, you try to spend your life content, but you feel you're needing more. It always seems you're searching, though you'll find you're never learning. But all you have to do is realize He's all you need. Yesterday's gone, tomorrow's not promised. So what will you do with Jesus today? This is your time, this is your moment. Will you turn to Him or turn away? What will you choose today? What will you choose today?
Nigel, thank you very much this evening again for your help. We appreciate you coming and joining with us tonight. Pray the Lord will bless those messages and song, always encouraged by his singing, ministry and song. We've certainly been blessed tonight, and thank you for being with us tonight. Pray the Lord will bless. Thanks to Adam as well for leading the meeting, not only this evening, but also this morning as well. We appreciate his help. Do remember Adam and the students. It's coming up to that time of the year again, the E word that nobody likes. Doesn't matter whether you're in school or where you are, if you have to do an exam, you hate it. Anybody that likes exams, well, they need to go and see somebody about that. But do remember Adam and the students as they come up to their examinations. Hard to believe that Adam's first year, almost complete now in the college. It doesn't seem, well, not just quite a year ago, we were here last September as he started off. And pray the Lord will bless him and use him as he seeks to serve the Lord. But we appreciate his help today. So we're turning back to Daniel chapter 4, that passage of scripture that Adam read to us. Daniel chapter 4. And we're looking tonight at the mad monarch, continuing our royal theme. Tuesday night in Bible study, we were looking at the model monarch, looking at the life of Asa. And then this morning, we were looking at the missing monarch, David, as he had gone from his throne. And tonight we're going to look at the mad monarch. So let's turn to the Word of God tonight, and let's seek His help just before we do so in a word of prayer. Let's pray that the Lord would speak to us as we come to the Gospel for tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee already for Thy presence with us. We thank Thee, Lord, for the messages and song that have been brought to us. We thank Thee for Nigel. Encourage him. Continue to use him. Lord, we pray You'll bless him in his ministry. And Lord, we pray that even as he travels around the country, may he know great help from heaven as he continues to uplift his Savior and to make much of the One who bled and died for him. Our Father, we pray that You'll bless us tonight around the Word of God as we come to the Gospel. We pray, Lord, You'll be pleased to meet with us. Lord, pour out Your Spirit, we pray. Lord, we need Thee tonight. Oh God, we cannot, we dare not, Lord, do this in our own strength. And so, Lord, we just look to Thee tonight for help from heaven. Come, O God, we pray. Lord, use us to Thy glory. And, O God, we pray that You'll be pleased to speak, especially to those who are out of Christ. Bring them to Thyself. And, Lord, we pray that this night salvation will come and visit this house, we pray. Answer prayer for us. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. So tonight we want to look at this mad monarch, whose name, of course, is Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar went from being a bad monarch to a mad monarch, and then eventually, as we will see this evening, to being a glad monarch. And really, the events that unfolded in the life of King Nebuchadnezzar are a real fulfillment of Scripture, where we read in Scripture that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and as rivers of water, He turneth it whithersoever He will. And that's exactly what happened in the life of King Nebuchadnezzar. But this evening we want to focus on this account here in Daniel chapter 4 of this time when he lost his mind. When he went totally mad. He went crazy and he went insane. We read from Daniel chapter 2 that Nebuchadnezzar was a dreamer. He had a lot of dreams. And of course that great dream that he had in Daniel chapter 2 of the great statue. And now in Daniel chapter 4, we have another one of his dreams. This time it's a dream about a great tree. And as before, he goes to his wise men to seek the interpretation, to seek the meaning of this dream, but they couldn't tell him. And as before, then he comes to Daniel, the godly man in an ungodly country, and asks him, what does this dream of this great tree mean? Well, what Daniel had to tell to King Nebuchadnezzar wasn't particularly good news for this man. Because as Daniel before God and under God interpreted that dream, it meant that for Nebuchadnezzar, his kingdom was going to be overthrown and his power was going to be removed. As we'll see tonight, Nebuchadnezzar lived a life of hostility and hatred to the Lord, but the Lord was going to deal with him, and the Lord was going to bring him down. Yet even in the midst of the judgment of God upon his life, there was going to be mercy. Because at this point in this man's life, when he was at his very lowest, he turned from his sin. He turned to the Lord, and the Lord showed him mercy. Oh, what mercy and goodness there is in God tonight. What a wonderful picture there is there of the gospel, because we may not be King Nebuchadnezzar's, but we were all sinners, undeserving of anything from God but His wrath, His judgment. But in the gospel tonight, in the person of Jesus Christ, in the cross work of Jesus Christ, as we have already heard Nigel singing about tonight, we can find mercy. We can find grace. Because thank God tonight, even for the hardest of hearts, there is still mercy in Christ. And so, Nebuchadnezzar is told what this dream means. And he has given time to repent and to turn, but that time is limited. As we'll see, it was for a period of 12 months. But then at the end of that time, God stepped in and God broke him and God brought him down. I want to warn you tonight in this meeting, if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, that the God who deals in mercy is also the God who deals in justice. And one day, He will bring you down as well. One day He will break you. If you refuse to heed the call to get right with God, if you refuse the call to be saved, He will deal with you in wrath and bring you down in humiliation and in death and cast you down to hell in condemnation. And all of that can happen in a moment. Nebuchadnezzar was a man of great power, but in a moment of time, his life was changed. And sinner, in this meeting tonight, I want to once again impress upon you that in a moment of time, your life can be changed. Your life can be turned upside down. Because here was a man, the person of Nebuchadnezzar, at the height of his power, and he loses it all. He loses his kingdom, he loses his power, he loses his mind, because he thought he could ignore the warnings of God and get away with it. And I'd say to you tonight, sinner, in this meeting, do not play with God. Do not border with him tonight. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And just as God, as we'll see this evening, dealt with Nebuchadnezzar, God will deal with you. Let's look then at this mad monarch tonight. I want us to see, first of all, here, there's the pride. The pride that marked his life. Nebuchadnezzar was a man full of power, a man full of pride. He was the most feared ruler of his day. He was a man who was not frightened or backward about seeking to extend his power. He wanted to extend his kingdom because we read in the opening verses of Daniel chapter 1 that he besieged Jerusalem. He was the king of Babylon, but he wasn't content just being king of Babylon. He wanted to be the king of all other nations as well. And so he besieged Jerusalem. And there was nothing, or there was no one that was going to stop him. And so he overtook the city and other nations because he wanted to exert his power and his dominion over other people. No one could stand in the way of Nebuchadnezzar. No one dared challenge him. No one dared to seek to overthrow him. He was puffed up with pride because so often is the case, he had great power, and often with great power comes great pride, and it seems that you become invincible and that no one can touch you. Nebuchadnezzar's heart was full of pride. He thought nobody could touch him. In this meeting tonight, sinner, you may not be the ruler of any kingdom or any monarch, but the reality is tonight you're just the same. You're full of pride. You're full of arrogance tonight because you think this evening, God can't touch me. God can't do anything with me. You think tonight, I don't need to be saved. I can get to heaven my own way. I don't need this gospel stuff. I don't need Christ. I don't need the way of the cross. The death of Christ means nothing to you tonight. You're full of pride. And you think that God cannot touch you. And you've lived so long in your sin, and you've hardened your heart so much that you think you are invincible tonight. Pride is a sin. And one day God will judge you for that sin. Because you see, tonight it is the sin of pride that has led you to a rejection of the gospel. It is the sin of pride that has led you to rejecting Jesus Christ. We see how this was demonstrated in the life of King Nebuchadnezzar. We see it in his indifference to God's power in Daniel chapter 2 in the verse 28. It is recorded what Daniel said to King Nebuchadnezzar, and he said, "But there is a God in heaven." As he was challenged, as Daniel was challenged to bow down and to do as God, as Nebuchadnezzar commanded, Daniel said, "But there's a God in heaven." Nebuchadnezzar was indifferent to God's power. Nebuchadnezzar, yes, acknowledged that God was a God. In fact, he describes him in verse 37 of chapter 2 as a God among gods. A great God, no doubt, but just one of many. And he believed in himself that he was one of those gods. You see, he put himself on a level par with God. Even though he was brought face to face with the reality of God's power, he was indifferent to it. And surely, sinner, have you not been brought face to face with the reality of God's power? You've seen lives changed. You see that there's a God in heaven, but you're indifferent to it. You're careless tonight. It doesn't really mean anything to you because your heart's been so hardened to the gospel. We see it as well in this difference to God's person. Do you know that in that fiery furnace of which we read of in this book as well, as Nebuchadnezzar looked into that fiery furnace and those three Hebrew children cast in there, who did he also see? He saw the Lord. He was brought face to face with the Lord. And yet it meant nothing to him. Here was a man who was confronted with God's power and God's person. And yet it meant nothing to him. Because his heart was so hard to God. We see as well that he was indifferent to God's prophecy, to God's word. I've already said how that Daniel was called upon to interpret this dream. But when the interpretation was given, and when the meaning of this dream was given, what did Nebuchadnezzar do? He just continued on. Daniel came and Daniel warned him, there's judgment coming. God's wrath is going to be poured out upon you. Nebuchadnezzar, there's something you need to do. But he was indifferent to it all. He refused to heed the warning. In fact, if you look there in Daniel chapter 4, in the verse 27, just before the start of our reading tonight, Daniel pleads with King Nebuchadnezzar to break off his sins, to turn away from his pride, to turn away from his arrogance, but he refuses. He had heard the warning of judgment, but he refused. You see, what was happening was that there was no fear of God in this man's heart and life. No fear of God. And is that not replicated across our province and across our nation? No fear of God. This idea that God is just another God. Here was a man who refused to heed the warnings. Is that you tonight? Here was a man who thought he could escape God, and for a time he did. And maybe that's where the devil has you tonight. And the devil has you in that place where he's been telling you, you've rejected the Lord all your life and you don't need him now. You don't need him now. And your heart is filled with pride and indifference and carelessness. This man was puffed up with the belief that he knew better than God. Do you know tonight the reality is that in every sinner's heart, there is this pride that you know better than God. How do I know that? Because if you believe the gospel as it is truly revealed in Scripture, you would realize there is no other way of salvation but the way of the cross. You would realize that there is no other Savior but the Lord Jesus Christ. But you refuse to acknowledge it. You continue on as you are. And you live in your sin, indifferent and proud and arrogant. There's the pride that marked him. But I want you to see, secondly here, there is the punishment that humbled him. The punishment that humbled him. God was not going to be mocked any longer, and God was going to bring this big sinner down. And what we have here is this punishment now being meted out in the scripture reading this evening. And the full extent of it is that he loses his kingdom, he loses his power, he loses his mind. Verse 33, we have the full extent of that punishment. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Notice as we consider this punishment, the certainty of it. You see, God did as he said he would do. Nebuchadnezzar scoffed at the idea that God would punish him. But God did. And sadly, many today, even in Protestant Ulster, they scoff, they laugh at the idea that God will punish sin. They will laugh at the idea that God is a God of wrath and a God of punishment. But no, make no mistake about it, what God says he will do, he will do. And God, through Daniel, said to Nebuchadnezzar, I am going to bring you down. God did it. God did it. Now that punishment was delayed for a matter of 12 months. Look in verse 29. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. You see, for a whole year, God delayed this punishment. Again, we see his mercy, his long-suffering, and his patience. And you know, during that time, I believe that Nebuchadnezzar had walked about in his kingdom and walked about in his palace, and maybe at the start, whenever he heard what Daniel had said to him, it maybe bothered him a little, but as time went on and nothing was happening and nothing was changing and his power was just going on as it was, Nebuchadnezzar was thinking to himself, well, that was never going to happen. God was never going to bring me down. God's not going to punish me. God's not going to do anything with me. But look at verse 31. Verse 30, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And verse 31, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, thy kingdom is departed from thee. Here was a man in the midst of his boasting, in the midst of his pride, and God brings him down. In a moment, in an instant, in a second. For those 12 months, Nebuchadnezzar believed, God is not going to punish me. But suddenly God stepped in. Sinner in this meeting tonight, you might have got yourself into this state. God's not going to punish me. And you believe the devil's lie. God's not going to do anything with me. Sure, I've been living like this for all of these years. Why do I need to change now? God's delay in sending judgment should never be misinterpreted. Because what God says he will do, he will do. God has given you space to repent. God has given you time to repent. But there is always a limit to his patience. And folks, while the wheels of God's wrath may at times grind slow, they still grind. God has not forgotten his word. God is still a God of justice. God is still a God of holiness. And God will punish sin. There's the certainty of this punishment. There's also the calamity of this punishment. It came suddenly. But from a human point of view, it was an awful calamity. His life was turned in an instant. His kingdom was departed from him. As we read in verse 33, he was driven from men. He did eat grass as oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. He lost his power. He was now in abject poverty. He ate the grass of the field, now no lavish banquets in the palace to enjoy. He had nowhere to lay his head. His body was wet with the dew of heaven. No four-poster beds now for him to lie on. He was in an absolute mess. He was living like an animal. Oh, how the mighty are fallen. And I want to say to you this evening, if you continue to reject Jesus Christ and continue to reject the gospel of Christ, and with pride and arrogance in your life continue on in your sin, God will bring you down as well. God will humble you. We live in an age of men, women, reveling, rejoicing in their sin, elevating themselves as in their eyes above God and greater than God. But God will see to it that one day every knee will bow to him. And one day every tongue will confess him. And sinner, in this meeting tonight, it is much, much, much better that you bow the knee to the Lord while you have time and while you have opportunity. You confess your sin to the Lord tonight while you have time. Because if you stand before the Lord in that day of judgment, having died as you'd lived in your sin, having rejected Jesus Christ, that day when you will bow your knee to the Lord and you will confess him as Lord, it will be to the condemnation of your soul and to the acknowledgement he is God. And you hear those words from the Lord as you bow your knee and as you confess his name, you hear the Lord say to you, "Depart from me, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." Oh, God's judgment, that day of judgment, has been delayed in the eyes of man. That day of judgment, it seemingly has been warned about for all of these years, and yet it has never come. But come it will. Because when every redeemed soul for whom the Savior died and shed his precious blood has been gathered in, then he will come. He will rend the skies, coming again, not as Savior, but then as Judge. You'll stand before him. You will be judged. don't mess or play with God tonight. God will judge your sin. God will punish sin. God will bring you down. There's the pride that marked him. There's the punishment that humbled him. But as we close this evening, I want us to see here, there's the pardon that saved him. And you know, as I looked and studied this passage of Scripture, couldn't help but think how merciful God truly is. In the midst of his distress and in the midst of his turmoil, what did he do? He did what he should have done before. He turned to God. Look at verse 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. He lifted up his heart to God. Symbolically, he was seeking the Lord. Oh, if he had sought the Lord before this, it would have saved a lot of mess and a lot of misery. But in the depths of despair, he sought the Lord. There's the mercy. There's the long-suffering nature of God. And when you seek the Lord, seek him with all your heart, he will be found. He will be found. A wonderful gospel promise. We never get tired of quoting it or repeating it. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. What was Nebuchadnezzar doing when he lifted his eyes to heaven? He was acknowledging that God is God. He was acknowledging that he is accountable to God. He is acknowledging that he's a sinner before God. He's confessing his sin. In verse 34, we see his recognition of God. He realized that this God is the true God. If you're ever going to be saved, sinner, then you must come in humility and brokenness before the Lord, acknowledging your sin and acknowledging that you're accountable to God for your sin and seeking the Lord, seeking him in salvation. You see in this pardon his recognition of God, but we also see in this pardon his redemption from God. Verse 36. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for glory of my kingdom, mine honor, my brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. What's happening here? All that he had lost because of his sin had now been restored to him. And you know, sinner, that's a wonderful aspect of the gospel. Because in redemption, all that we have lost in sin, all that we have lost because of sin, our standing before God, our acceptance before God, all of that is made up to us when we come as a sinner to Jesus. That's what redemption is. The Lord making up to us all that we have lost because of sin. Oh, tonight, your life can be changed and your life can be turned around. You can have this new life if only you will acknowledge the Lord and cry unto him. And praise God, tonight the blood of Jesus Christ still cleanses from sin. It still redeems the sinner. Here was a man who went from being a bad monarch to being a mad monarch, and now to being a glad monarch. Why? Because he realized he needed the Lord. He sought the Lord. He lifted his eyes to heaven in acknowledgement of God. I wonder this evening as we close this meeting, will you lift your eyes to the Lord tonight? I'm not asking you tonight to look to this church. This church can't save you. I want you tonight to lift your eyes to an old rugged cross, and we've been brought to the cross tonight and Nigel's singing. And there I want you to see the very bleeding form of one who was bleeding and dying for you. One who loved your soul so much that he was willing to give his life to redeem you, to ransom you, to rescue you from sin. Therefore, tonight, what will you do with him? What will you do with Jesus Christ? What is the Lord going to have to do to break you? What is the Lord going to have to do to bring you to himself? Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Because you could do it for one last time. Don't bank on God's mercy being extended to you tomorrow. Tomorrow is just eternity hidden from our view. You could be in your coffin tomorrow. And how would it be with your soul? Charlotte Elliott was a famous singer. Very talented musician. One day she came across a preacher by the name of Caesar Millan. And Caesar Millan was one of the preachers in the Reformation, preached in Geneva under John Calvin in that city. But his fame had spread and he was asked to go to London to preach in a series of meetings. And while in London, he was asked to attend a musical concert to which many famous people had been invited. And playing and singing at that concert that night was this young, upcoming musician by the name of Charlotte Elliott. Her music had captivated the crowd. And Mr. Elliott, or Mr. Millan, was so captivated, but also so convicted that he felt he had to go and say something to the young Charlotte Elliott. After the concert was over, he made his way to Charlotte Elliott. And he said, I thought as I listened to you tonight, how tremendously the cause of Christ would be benefited if your talents were dedicated to his cause. And he said to her, young lady, you are a sinner in the sight of God, but I am glad to tell you that the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you from all sin. So Charlotte Elliott became filled with rage. How dare this preacher tell her that she was a sinner? Oh, she had the adulation of the world. People loved her. How dare anybody tell her that she was a sinner and she should give her talents and heart to the Lord? She became so angry with the preacher, she stomped out, left the meeting in a fit of rage. And as she stomped past and went past Caesar Millan, the preacher, he turned to her and he said, I mean no offense. But be assured of this, I will pray that God's Spirit will convict you of your sin. Well, that was like another red rag to a bull. And Charlotte Elliott records in her memoirs that she went home that night. And all she could see was the face of that preacher. And all she could hear were his words. You're a sinner in the sight of God. She couldn't sleep. And as the hours of the night went on, she became more disturbed and more troubled. And Caesar Milan's prayer was being answered for her, because the Holy Spirit was convicting her of her sin. She was popular. She was well-liked and well-loved. But she needed the Lord. And as the hours of that night went on, Charlotte Elliot records that she got out of her bed, troubled, concerned, and at the side of her bed, with a broken heart, with eyes full of tears over her sin, she cried unto the Lord for mercy and for forgiveness. And that night, Charlotte Elliot got saved. And she wrote that hymn, "Just As I Am," without one plea. "But that thou bidst, thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." That night, Charlotte Elliot, who had the world at her feet at that time, came to the Lord, a broken, contrite sinner, and she found mercy. And she found forgiveness. I wonder tonight, will you come confessing your sin? Will you come to Jesus Christ tonight? Will you do it before it is too late?